Okay, so the first question that you have to ask, as it becomes possible for people to travel to space, and at this point there is no end of sci-fi movies where the entire theme of it is that the world is coming to an end, we're going to need a new place to live because of whatever, because of war with aliens, global warming, I don't know what it is that's going to drive humanity on Earth to extinction, but we're going to have to find a new place to live. I'm sure you can name like 10 movies off the top of your head that is predicated on this assumption. But the question, the first sort of question conceptually that has to be asked when you're dealing with mitzvot in space is, are you obligated to mitzvot at all? So philosophically speaking, right, what is the question that really stands behind this issue, right? Why would you entertain the possibility that someone is not chayav in mitzvot once he leaves planet Earth, and why would you say he obviously is? Go. Yeah. Good. So Rabbitzin Fuhrer comes up with what I think is a fascinating philosophical meta-argument about the mitzvot, and that is that the Torah works as a system. And therefore, if one would conclude that there are any mitzvot that one cannot perform, not just practically, but fundamentally, cannot perform in space, then that proves that this system wasn't built for life outside of planet Earth. Right, now that I think is a fascinating philosophical claim, which is quite problematic. Right? Because we know that there are many mitzvot that fundamentally don't apply, let's say, in the last 2,000 years. Right?
Well, we can throw it all out then.
Right, meaning you'd have to distinguish and say, well, mitzvot that apply to the Beit HaMikdash, nowadays we're not obligated in them because we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, but fundamentally they can apply, and therefore the system is in place. But once you start going down this slippery slope of viewing the mitzvot as this cohesive whole, then you have to wonder why someone would make the radical argument that if some of the mitzvot can't apply in space, then no mitzvot apply, when we don't make the same the argument that once you don't have the Beit HaMikdash, then no mitzvot apply. Even though, to be fair, the Ramban makes an argument related to this, where the Ramban argues that in Chutz Laaretz, or seems to say, or really does say, that in Chutz Laaretz, mitzvot don't really count. They're just practice. Right? All mitzvot, always. Right? That when you live in Chutz Laaretz, you have to do them, but it's really practice. Mitzvot only really count in Israel. Right? This is like every religious Zionist favorite Ramban. If you did B'nai Akiva at any point, you probably heard it. I never did B'nai Akiva, but I know it is on their website. Right, this Ramban is one of those that makes it on. So that does seem to go in a direction like this, that the mitzvot are meant for a certain place, and everywhere else it's not really obligated. And this is the position that Rabban Tzion Fuhrer takes up. So if we look at it, he says, "Biyameinu eila, acharei she'etzliach adam latzig kaf raglo al yareach." In our days, now that people have successfully put their foot on the moon, Shuv ein loagim lefsharut litzor shem tenem l'chaye enosh. Lo yirar eifo kimin meguchach emishu yinaset l'ayen mai enosh olam chadash ze acharei sheikh boshoto. He said, now that people are starting to talk about landing man on the moon, and we know that, not just landing, but living there, right? We know the number of companies, I mean, right? Elon Musk has his private company, right, involved in this. Jeff Bezos has his private company involved in this. I forget which one is thinking what, right? What exactly each of them are doing, but exploring space tourism and populating space and whatever, not to mention every sci-fi movie, right? So once people are talking about it, so we have to ask, so if we do that, right, we decide that the world is uninhabitable and we move to Mars, are we chayav in mitzvot b'mchinat halacha? V'chein ha'sheila hi, ha'em yichuyav adam Yisrael she'yagia liyarech l'kayim shom Torah mitzvot alo? Do you get to live on the moon, are you going to be obligated in mitzvot? So his answer is, v'im tomar, im ein makom al yarech l'chol ha'mitzvot, areish makom l'mitzvotat. So at first glance, he says, you might just say, look, maybe certain mitzvot you can't keep, but others you can, and whatever you can, you will. Right? Like, if you move to the moon, and then, you know, your spaceship is gone, so then you can't do Aliyah L'Regel, or Yerida L'Regel, or whatever you would call it, fine. I mean, you could. If your spaceship disappears, or Earth ceases to exist... Right? Right? If that is...
Nobody is obligated
to mitzvah. Well, fine. No, but you managed to get off on the ship. What's the movie? I haven't seen it, but I know that it exists. Travelers? Travelers something? What? Passengers something? Right? Isn't that like the whole theory of the movie? That Earth is uninhabitable, so people go on a ship and...
No.
Whatever they,
yes.
Yeah. It's if I remember when it came out, it was like a very predictable thing. It's like yes, they're meant to live on this, be asleep for in like hibernation for hundreds of years until they make it to their new planet, and then some people wake up, fall in love, get married, live their life on spaceship, and end of story. Fine, or something like that. I don't know. Whatever it is. So you might think that, look, you know, Earth has come to an end, so you can't, Aliyah L'Regel doesn't make sense, but we are alive, so maybe the mitzvah we can keep, we should keep. But then he introduces this philosophical principle. Yesh lomar ein Torah l'chatzain. He said, but maybe you could introduce this novel position, which is, there is no such thing as half a Torah. Ki darash Rav Simlai, because Rav Simlai in a very... well-known statement to the end of Makot said that Sheish Meot v'Shalosh Esrei Mitzvot Nemru L'Moshe. There are 613 mitzvot. Taryag Mitzvot Elohein Shlemu Rachat. And maybe you have to conceptualize them as one unit. Pachot Mimispar Zel Yoter Meno Eina Kfar Torah. More or less would not be Torah, hence the prohibition of Lo Teusiv Alav Lo Tigrami Menu. Don't add, don't subtract. Kiaz Eina Torah Torah. Because then it's not Torah. Ukfar Nifzik Alacha. And it's this connection of all the mitzvot that makes it that someone who actively rejects a single mitzvah on principle, and not just fails to do it because they have the Yetzer Hara, but on principle rejects the legitimacy of a mitzvah, we treat them as an idolater. If you deny the legitimacy of a single mitzvah, you deny the whole. But then he says, but isn't this challenged by what I just said? Which is, if that were the case, then shouldn't that have implications on earth? Right? Because not all places on earth are equivalent. Certain mitzvot only apply in Israel. We don't say you don't have to keep other mitzvot in Chutz La'aretz, even though you could have invoked the Ramban as a proof that maybe at some level we do. We said, no, the earth in the end of the day is one big connected entity. So the earth is the place in which mitzvot can be performed as an entire entity. Kemosha Torah Shlema B'Yev Yisrael Mekabelet Aval Pi Shlo Kol Echad Mizrael Mitzaveh B'Chol Derech Mitzvot. The same way that no single Jew is obligated in all 613 mitzvot. Because some mitzvot only apply to Kohanim, some only to Levim, some only to men, some only for women, etc. And yet, we say, on earth, it's possible to keep all the mitzvot, and as a people, we can keep it. At that level, the Torah is complete. The same is true in terms of times, right? Certain mitzvot are only on Shabbat, some are only on Yom Tov. Im chelik min haaretz hazmanim, nechona v'chat shegodlam, etc. Next paragraph. Ein lochem makom l'torah l'yareach gam mishvil b'nei adam, mechem jarbei mitzvot ha'toratz mudot l'makom v'zimim, l'zmanim v'zimim, ein echolet sham l'chayev. And therefore, in space, on the moon, where these mitzvot are impossible, because they are tied to earth, so you wouldn't be chayav. And therefore, you could argue, lo sham nitzavein lo v'nav v'nav. In space, there isn't even a concept of building a v'nav there. Lo sham nitzavein al mitzvot ha'tluyot ba'aretz. Mitzvot ha'tluyot ba'aretz were in no way connected to the moon. Lo sham gayem yom echad. She'er b'voker b'shir goldo sh'lav nitzavein v'yachas ha'shavon ha'madim. V'tarash im b'tayarag mitzvot ena kayemet. And a Torah without 613 mitzvot doesn't exist. So this was Fuhrer's suggestion. It was viciously attacked. Because it is prima facie crazy, right? I mean, it just is, right? Meaning, you see him fighting back and saying, but wait a second, aren't there places where, aren't there certain mitzvah that are tied to places like Eretz Yisrael? Aren't there mitzvah that are tied to Beit HaMikdash? Aren't there mitzvah only for Kohanim? Aren't there mitzvah only, right? So he starts saying, well, yeah, well, Earth is one entity. So, yeah, America is like connected by virtue of the fact that it's on planet Earth with Israel. So that's okay. And like, yes, a certain mitzvah only apply to Kohanim, but like, the Jewish people is one entity. So like, as a whole, we keep all the mitzvot. So that's okay. That's different. But space is categorically different. Right? But you see the weakness in this argument. Now, admittedly, this is an efshar. He's entertaining this possibility. But even the possibility drove Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher crazy. Rav Kasher was a fascinating individual, lived, was mostly active in the mid-20th century in America. He wrote the monumental Torah Shlema. You know Torah Shlema? It's like, I don't know if you have it here, it's like a 40-volume work on Chumash that quotes every Midrashic comment anywhere on every line of every Pasuk in Chumash with analysis. So, like, each Parsha is a book. Also wrote Tshuva Svarim. He was one of the main people involved in the building of the second Manhattan Eruv, the 1950 Eruv. The first Eruv in Manhattan was built in 1905. But the second version of it in the 1950s. Eruvs are interesting. Does anyone know, parenthetically, where the first Eruv was built in North America? It's not where you would expect. What?
Wyoming.
No, but... close? Not close, but...
Montana.
St. Louis.
Yeah.
You knew that?
What's the weirdest state
there?
Impressive. Yeah, so the first Eruv was built in the 1860s in St. Louis. The first city Eruv in North America, but it was justified in a little country. It's called Tikvat Zecharia that's on Hebrew books. You can see it. The second Eruv was in New York. It was in 1905. The third Eruv was in Toronto in the 1920s. And the fourth was New York again, was the moved New York Eruv. Those are the first four major Eruvin before the explosion after the 1950s, where every city got its own Eruv. But it was a big deal before that. Rabbi Adam Mintz, if anyone knows him, from the Upper West Side, wrote his dissertation on the first four Eruvin in North America. So it's a fascinating history. So Rav Kasher plays very much into this. He was very involved in the second iteration of the Manhattan Eruv in the 1950s. But he also wrote very interesting books. So one of them was this sefer called Ha'adam al Hayareach, right? The Man on the Moon, which is literally just a book about different halakha that come up now that man has gone on the moon. That's what the book is about. That's it. It's a fascinating little contrast. Really, really very interesting. And he writes, Kiyum HaTorah HaLevana. Lefi aniyut da'ati barur b'li shum safek shahagdara shel halacha hi shachiyuv l'kayem mitzvot ha'Torah hi chovat gavra. It is clear to me, with no doubt whatsoever, that the nature of the obligation of mitzvot is one that devolves on the individual, right? Devolves on people. V'chol bar Yisrael chayav l'kayem ha'Torah b'chol makom shehu chay. And therefore, wherever you are, you are obligated to mitzvot. Bashamayim mimal al alivana, in the heavens above on the moon. O b'mayim mitach al haaretz, or underwater. Other sci-fi movies, right? other sci-fi movies, whatever. Atlantis, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, I don't know. Fine. Yeah.
Are there halal code on submarines? If we maybe discuss those at some point.
What?
Submarines? Are there halal code involved in those?
I don't know. I can look. I came to this topic as people asked last year, so that was how I researched it the first time. I can look if there are unique halakha to submarines. I honestly have no idea. I'm sure that if I talk to, like, anyone I know in, like, the Rabbanut HaTzvait, right, in the army rabbinate, they will have something. There are definitely certain unique shailos and submarines. I don't know what they are. I haven't really thought about it. No one asked me these shailos. But, you know, those people who might or might not be on the submarines with, you know, manning Israel's possibly non-existent nuclear warheads, those people, right? Those people, it is, those people that may or may not exist, may or may not have asked shailos to rabbis at some point. I have no idea, right? And presumably, if I talk to someone who actually knows if such people exist, presumably they will frame it in as abstract terms as I just said. But I have no idea. But he says, fundamentally, you're chayiv in space, at the bottom of the ocean. Oba aviron, on a plane. Sorry, b'tzira tzvoni, o b'tzira dromi. Doesn't matter if you're the northern, right, the North Pole, and the South Pole. Doesn't matter. Shavu chelek mechana kulo, or a choshef. Doesn't matter if the year is all night, right? It's all dark, if it's all light. Makes no difference, right? If you live up in whatever, right? Where's Vega today? I don't know. Torontonians know this a little bit. Someone I knew in Toronto
I was supposed to tell you that Baker's going to be somewhat late today. I forgot.
Okay, thank you. He's a doctor in Toronto, but he devotes some of his time to the outskirts of Canada to be a doctor, and he flies there. But like the outskirts of the outskirts of Canada, if you know anything about Canada, is a place called Nunavut. Which is basically, at certain points, you fly as far as you can go, and then you drive as far as you can go, and then you go, like, 5 hours, like, past the end of the Earth, like, up past the North Pole. Like, it's very, very, very far, right? Nunavut is, like, the middle of absolutely nowhere. So he goes there for, like, 2 weeks at a time or something like that, to the middle of nowhere. But he said he doesn't go certain parts of the year because it's dark for 3 months, and then you get into all types of shailas, like, if it starts getting dark on a Saturday, so there are certain postmen who think that Shabbos lasts for 3 months, and he's just not willing to deal with these shailos, he just doesn't go at that time of year, right? So if you live there, right, he says, you're still chayiv in mitzvot. Kol zman shu chay, as long as you're alive, efshar lo l'kayim mitzvot ha-Torah, and you're able to keep the mitzvot, you are obligated. Vasur lavor al shum isur. You can't violate any prohibition. Vim anusur rachmana patra. He said, let's say you'll tell me, but certain mitzvot I can't perform in space. Right? I'm stuck on the moon. My spaceship crashed. I'm stuck in our civilization that we've built on the moon. I can't be yorid laregel. Okay? I have no way to get to Earth. Okay! So onus rachmana patra. You have no choice. Okay, that doesn't mean that you're not obligated. It means that it's not your fault. Right? So God will forgive you. That doesn't mean that as a fundamental level you're not obligated. There's no such thing as someone saying, look, here, I don't like being a from Jew. So therefore, instead of staying on earth and giving up Judaism, because I believe in it, I just can't handle it. Right? This is basically what he's imagining. Right? Someone will say, look, I have a very easy solution. I'll just become an astronaut. Right? Then I'll be a good Jew, because according to Rafirer, as long as I'm in space, I'm not chayv in mitzvot. So I will not keep the mitzvot, and no one will hold me to task for it, because I'm in space. Right? He said, that is not a plausible theological position. How could someone even say something like that? How could you say someone, a born Jew, can remove himself from the obligation of mitzvah? Why didn't he ask himself, and where exactly did Kedushat Yisrael go? Matzinul Chazal Shenemru Binida Amar Rav Yosef Amar Mitzvah B'telot Leitid Lavo V'Kamen D'Chamzul V'Nitla Blu Arishonim Acharem Sheshu Alam B'Vilcha. There are statements in Chazal that say the mitzvah won't apply in the future. And all the Rishonim try to figure out what does that mean, because it can't literally mean no mitzvah would apply in the future, right? No one has ever imagined the possibility that mitzvah would stop applying. Maybe they should, but he says, but the reality is they haven't. And he says, they ask, does it mean in Olam Haba? Does it mean, etc.? But he says, what you learn from this is, Shikar Gadol Biyadeinu Shatorah Nitzchidi, Vishalo Tishtane Afilu Kikotzol Shel Yod, that the Torah is forever, it'll never change. V'yesh Mepharshim Mishrim Zayishan Atem B'nei Adam, unless maybe nature changes, Aval Me'ol Lam Bo'alal Adat, Shigam B'lameinu Anu Tiyev Sharuch B'nei Adam Yasu, Yeshuv Alavana. But no one ever thought, oh, we'll just go live on the moon. And you know, the person just doesn't like Torah, but wants to not, you know, have God angry at him, will just go and be an astronaut and live. He will be on the passenger ship and go live in whatever it's called. Choshvani shemechaber chashuv shekotev v'atzmo shemarov b'chinat hirur rishon kishyavol b'chinat hirur sheni ulay yechlid acheret. And he said, then he ends off and he says, that which the author of that article said, it was a hirur rishon, meaning your first thoughts, I hope that by the time you have your second thoughts, you have changed your mind. Right, that's how he ends his piece. Right, this is al panav crazy. Right, that is his conclusion. So this is question number one. Right, and I think that the vast majority of poskim, if not all of them, would take the position that obviously, you're chayv mitzvah. Right? And this was the assumption of everybody. And therefore, with that background in mind, what were the questions therefore that people asked? Right? What were the questions therefore? If it wasn't, are you chayv in mitzvah? So what did people ask? What were the main questions? They asked a lot, but what were the main questions? Yeah. Time. Right? Time. And some of these were originally said as theoretical, but when did these become halakha lemaaseh? What? Ilan Ramon. Right? That when Ilan Ramon became the first Israeli astronaut, he wanted to keep mitzvot. He wanted to keep Shabbat. He wanted to know what to do because he was representing the Jewish people. Now, you know the end of the story. It was quite tragic that there was a malfunction on the way back in to Earth, I believe, and everyone died. And it was, I remember it. It was terrible. I was in high school at the time, I think that sounds right. That makes sense? I think that makes sense. I think so. I don't remember the exact year. It's probably here. The exact year. 2002? Yeah, I was in ninth grade. That's right. Right. It was right when I started high school. June 2002? No, I was in eighth grade. So I guess it was right... I think probably they came back. I think they were coming back. I think they left in June 2002, right? But it was a few months, so maybe they came out. It was right around when I was starting high school, 8th grade high school, something like that. But I remember them talking about it in high school. It's a fresh event. So that would be when I was in 9th grade. And Ilan Ramon asked, halacha lemaaseh, right? This wasn't theoretical. It was, I'm going to space. Now what do I do? How do I keep Shabbat? When do I say Kiddush? When do I daven? Right. All those questions suddenly became the shayla. Now, I'll leave aside the question that some people asked, which, can you be an astronaut? Is that safe? Right? Is this a violation of safety and, you know, our obligation to keep our life safe? There were poskim who were really opposed to this. On principle, Rav Menashe Klein has a tshuva here, and also on page 10, where he just writes that it is usher for two reasons, right? One is sakana, for two reasons. The danger of going there and the danger of being there, right? He just didn't like it, so I'm going to leave that on the side. But assuming you can go, because it's for research and we're allowed to risk our lives, at least a certain amount, for work, you'll risk your life. I hope not, right? That's less true now, but it was definitely true, you know, but it's still true nowadays, right? Meaning, you know, people at least get hurt and hurt in ways that could, you know, they could die. We know that, right? Whether it be coal miners or even whatever, like, you know, when the You know, there was a case here in Modien, right? Of some. Thank God he didn't die, but like he was one of these handymen was building or taking down one of the sukkahs at Yeshiva, right? And he fell, right? And he was in the hospital, and right. These happen, right? People are, you know, so there are things you're allowed to risk your life for. So let's assume you can do it. So now, what do you do, right? So this was the shaila that he asked. And if you want to just look at the top, look at source one. I want just to show you the two different presentations of this. Actually, just look at the left one, right? This is where it originally came. And this was the actual beginning of the Shaila, right? It's from Reb Chaim Tzvi Konikau, who's a rabbi in Florida. Say, Rav be Florida. You can see. And he says, do we have Floridians here? There you go. Okay. So he says, astronaut, shomed lenzo b'chalalit, echik nahegim, dine kriyat shema, tfila, shabbat, v'yishar lechatil lenzoa. How does he do shema, davening, etc.? And he says, here, let's just introduce these. He says, behem sheikh l'sichatenu telefonit ma'ayom, hinini bazeh lechto benyan apkisha sheli im mar Ilan Ramon. After my meeting today, let me explain to you, let me tell you what happened in my meeting with Ilan Ramon. Shekarega umishtayech lechalalit STS 107, shalafia tochnit tzichalatus lechalal b'esrim l'sheva l'yuni 2002. Right, he's part of this spaceship that is supposed to fly on the 27th of June. Me'od itpaleiti v'drashamti mimar. That should be Ramon. Befrat me'avato v'chibato liyadut Eretz Yisrael. I was impressed by his love of the Jewish people, of Judaism, and of Israel. Hu socheach iti v'eled sheila ba'ilai b'torah rava rishmi shel tchum NASA. V'sheilato, he asked me in my official position as the rabbi of NASA. Apparently. I didn't know that was a position, honestly. Binogel azesha alel lichyot al-chalit b'shabbat. Ma alay la'aso kedei lishmor shabbat. Lufi ezet sha'on alay la'lechet kedei la'dad zmanei k'nisa v'itza shabbat. How do I keep shabbat? When does it start? When does it end? So before we get to his answer, right? This was the question. Okay, I don't want to see his answer yet, but this is the question, right? Was Ilan Ramon wanted to know how do you keep Shabbat? Okay, this was the question. How much time do we have? Okay, so the starting Gemara from which many of the poskim tried to figure it out was. The bottom of source one was this Gemara in Shabbat Samach Tet Amud Bet, which is the case of what happens when someone is wandering in the desert, does not know when it is Shabbat, what does he do? Right? This was the starting place for many of the poskim. So why don't you try to take a few minutes, look at the Gemara, see what the implications might be, and yeah, then I don't know if we'll finish this. I doubt we'll finish the topic today, but at least try to start thinking about what directions you might take. And then, next week probably we'll start fleshing out how it actually played out in this modern debate. It was all recorded in this pamphlet that was put together. There's two. Right, starting on page 4, you have Rav Gavriel Zinger, the author of Nitei Gavriel, who weighed in, Rav Yitzchak Shmuel Schechter weighed in, and then in the most extensive one, starting on page 6, was this contrast put together called Im Esek Shamayim, right, if I go up to heaven, right, contrast Im Esek Shamayim, if I go to heaven. And that's where they really summarize all the positions, and again, it might probably we'll finish it next week. But why don't you start with the Gemara and see what type of directions you might take? But already, right off the bat, before we even look at the sources, what do you think? What are the possibilities? What possibilities can you think of? Yeah.
Take an arbitrary day. That's your and count 7 days from there, and that's Shabbos.
Good. So one possibility is to say, take an arbitrary day, days meaning 24-hour periods,
yeah,
right? And then every seventh day is Shabbos, right? That's one possibility. What's another possibility?
There is no Shabbos.
Good. Another possibility is that even we don't take Refer's position, meaning there's no mitzvah, but maybe time-bound mitzvah really don't exist. Right, that's the second possibility. What's the third possibility?
Every day is Shabbos.
Okay, meaning?
Well, we don't know, so it might.
Good, so one possibility is Suffolk, right? That's always a legitimate place, which is, I have no idea how to even gauge this question, so you have to keep Shabbos short of, like, Pikuach Nefesh or something, right? What's another possibility? Good, so you might have to say that it goes by wherever you left from or wherever you're a resident of, good, right? Which is similar, right? Which is similar to saying that it's by 24-hour periods, but not arbitrary. It's, you know, from wherever you when you left, or you try to figure out whatever's going on where you left, right? Actually, no, it's a different position, right? It's whatever it is in the place you live, right? You just figure out what time it is there. What's another possibility? Good, right, another possibility, and you'll see that's actually the one that Ilan Ramon wanted to, preferred, right, was that one, was Israel, even though he was leaving from America, right, that was his preferred position, right? Then there's the maddening position. What's the most maddening possible control of the position? Is that a day is a rotation of the earth, so every time you rotate the earth, it's a day, right, so every seventh rotation, so you do that, I think, 16 times a day, right, so... So, what that would look like is a nightmare, because you have to say Kriyat Shema morning and night, so, like, figure it out, right? Twice every rotation you have to say Shema, and, you know, once every rotation you have to put on tefillin, and every seven rotations you have to keep Shabbos, and every 180 rotations you have to keep Pesach, and you can't eat Chametz, and you have to build a sukkah, I guess like this, right, whatever, under the stars, and whatever, and you have to fast on Yom Kippur, and...
Are you just selling all of your chametz, like, space food squeezes to the guy next to you?
Yeah, so the chametz, right, all that stuff, right, that's another possibility, right, which is that days go by rotations, right, around the earth in this case, right, just like normally it would be... You know, the earth rotating on its axis, well, now you're going around, so you're speeding up time. So it's every seventh rotation. So multiple times a day, you're keeping Shabbos, and, you're saying Kriyat Shema, and whatever. Kriyat Shema, tefillin, take your pick. And yes. And then, of course, if you held that position, the real nightmare would be when you get back. Right? So now, what do you do? Do you, like, reintegrate into time, or like... Right, or like, of course you could have all types of fun ones with this, right? Which is like, what if you are, right? What if a child went up, does he or she speed up their age to bar bat mitzvah? Right? You could come up all types of fascinating ones if you really held of this position. That would be the complete nightmarish position, right? If you held that, right? It would be like the opposite of the way people joke if they're born on February 29th, right? That they're still, you know, 4 years old when they're 16, right? This would be the opposite nightmare, right? Where the person is biologically 10 and, you know, halachically 30 because they had, they sped up time and...
Well, if there are 16 rotations a day, there'd be
160. Well, it depends how long they were there. I don't know how long someone's there. I'm saying, right, that you have to... I'm not talking about someone who lives their whole life. I'm saying someone who, like, goes and then has to integrate back into society. Is this, like, a temporary weird halachic status, or does it forever put you on a weird thing, right? You get this, by the way, with, like, there is an actual position, for the record, right, in a much less extreme case, which is when you fly across the date line, right? The Lubavitcher Rebbe felt that in one case you actually function on a different schedule than everybody else, and that is Shavuot. Because since Shavuot doesn't have a date in the Torah, it's 7 weeks after Pesach, right? He actually felt that if you traveled over the date line, you would have your own Shavuot based on 7 weeks that you counted, even if that's not when anybody else counted it, right? So there is such precedent for such positions. It wasn't really, you know, that as much as for Sefirat HaOmer, I think actually Chabad does Paskin that way. I think for Shavuot, at least L'Chumrah, they don't do that because it's way too weird to have a different, you know... Day of Shavuot. I'm not 100% sure of that. Yeah, so those are the possibilities, right? So the starting point for the poskim really is this Gemara, which is a much less extreme case, which is simply someone who forgot Shabbat. So the way it's looking in the clock, I think, take the time to prepare. If we don't rejoin for Shir today, that's fine. But at least start thinking of what this Gemara might indicate. And next week, yes, obviously, all the positions that we've said are basically going to be the positions that are taken. But what we'll do next week is see how the arguments actually emerge from the sources, right? Even though at some level it is just Poskim saying, this is what I think, because no one really asked the Shaila before, right? There are sources, and this is the main Gemara that they look at. So it may be that until the end we're just doing Chavrusa, but really whatever you want.